The Roger Rashid joins us on the line. Roger, you witnessed a fantastic result, and all of a sudden we are on the cusp of greatness with Rafa potentially taking out the 21st title. Welcome to you.
Thanks very much. And look, Jared, yeah, it's been a marvellous couple of weeks from Rafa. I mean, he's just slowly, you know, he's Popeye, isn't he? Every game he wins, and another cracks another can of spinach, whacks it in, and his chest just sticks out, and he gets stronger. He actually always has been able to get stronger and play his best tennis as he's moving forward, and not just, you know, not be falling over at the line, so to speak. And today was nothing more than that. And Rafa knows when, boys, to make a statement. And when it's the match is that important that he must make a statement early. He did it, and obviously went to five sets a couple of days ago and really struggled against Chapo. And he admitted it. He said, he's got some heat stroke and all those sort of things that took place. But here against Berrettini, he had a big plan, and it was to go big, heavy, bouncy into the backhand of Berrettini. The roof was closed, so he didn't get the value of having heat in the court and the normal bounce, but wow, he stepped up and was just so aggressive early and just took it to an opponent and said, hey, I've been here that many times and this is what it takes. And, you know, he definitely stunned him. And those first two sets were that was just a better level from Rafa than we'd seen so far in the tournament.
I think most people in Melbourne have taken Roger Federer and Rafa to their bosom, if you like, and have always loved the way they go about it. This would be incredible if he could get across the line against Tsitsipas and Medvedev. I love those two guys too. They play in the right spirit. They leave it all on the court, so it's no certainty. But if Rafa was to win, it would be an incredible result for the Australian Open and a great climax, a fitting climax, because I guess I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I just assume that Ash Barty is going to win because she seems so much better than anybody else in the field.
Look, it's been to be honest, you couldn't script the Australian Open back end any better than this, could you? I mean, really, I mean, you know, we had Rafa and Berrettini. Berrettini, you got to remember, a finalist of Wimbledon. He's only lost to, in the last four Grand Slams, the only person he's lost to is Novak.
Right.
And so that shows his quality as he's coming through. So that was the semi-finals. Then you've got Tsitsipas, who just played scintillating tennis in his round before, and who now against Sinner, and he's an all-court. He's the other version of Roger, really. You know, you see him on top of the baseline, taking the ball on the rise, coming forward. Mm. So he's got that style of play. And you've got Medvedev, who starts in row seven and then comes up and tries to beat you from the baseline when he needs to. And it's virtually, you know, to get through him at any stage, anywhere around the court, he's as strong-minded as anyone out there as well. So it is it's an amazing group that we had in the semi-finals. And then on the other side of the court, you've got Ash, who I think is just going to be too good. She has been dropped 21 games only. Danielle Collins has been outstanding, but I think Ash will be able to pick her apart. It's going to make Danielle do a whole lot of different things on the court if she wants to beat Ash. But she comes in with a great platform, an NCAA champion on two occasions. She's hungry. She doesn't smile much. She wants to eat you. And then you got the four boys, four Aussies playing doubles, and we had Aussies in the mixed doubles today, and Dylan Alcott in the final. I mean, could you have actually written it? I'm not sure. I don't think you could have. Could you?
No. Well, it's Hollywood like stuff. Before we we'll come back to Ash and also the men's doubles, but Rog, before we move on from Rafa, it's extraordinary to think that he could move to 21 on Sunday night, when in two of the four slams, one being here in Melbourne, he hasn't won here in Melbourne since 2009, so we're talking 13 years, and he hasn't won Wimbledon since 2010. Now, we know he's just, you know, he's owned the red clay of Paris, but that almost makes it even more extraordinary that two of the four slams, it's a dozen years plus since he's tasted success.
When you mention the differential, he actually should be in the armchair having a cold beer watching and going, I used to do that. And be telling, you know, that's really, do you want to have a look at my highlights package? But and he'd never do that as well, I don't think, Rafa. But that's extraordinary. And what's even more extraordinary, and it's not extraordinary that he's here, to be honest, because he loves the game. He craves it. So too so the best players in the world, that's why we've been gifted, is these guys, Roger and Novak, they crave the game for its pure, and especially Rafa, just for in its purest form. And you can see how humble it is, see how competitive it is. And he's always trying to challenge himself out there. So, you know, he turns up here and he even talked about it today, you know, to Jim Courier at the end. He said, you know, I lose a third, played a bit of a loose game, but all credit to, you know, Mateo, he hit it. But and then I had to suffer and fight. And then I came through. So he acknowledges that, okay, now's my time to dig in and I've got to really suffer this period. And he absorbs it. And I think that's why I'm not sure. Look, you'll be able to throw other names if you sat down and wrote a little list, but he'd be on a really small list of would he be the greatest fighter in sport? He'd have to be in the top couple or three in all sports because he never stops. And he's able to remove what just took place in the past and just focus on the present. And, you know, when you lose a set, your third set, you've had a little bit of a, you know, you've had a big couple of days ago, you had a monster event, you're trying to get your body back. He pushed back, you know, straight away in the opening game and pushes back and sets the scene again. So, look, he's an incredible, we've been gifted because we've been able to watch him. I've been gifted even 100-fold because I've been on the court, on the practice court with him, you know, hundreds of times. I've, you know, gone head-to-head with him as a coach and have the luxury of playing against him, you know, with my players. And I've always had a smile on my face, regardless if he was the opposition, because I just thought this is tennis at its purest. And it's pretty special, I think. We're in a special period to have someone at 35, like Rafa, who's gone through a fair bit, to be sitting in an Australian Open final. That's pretty cool.
I think you'd like him interchanging with Travis Boak off the half forward flank. You might just be able to find a spot for him. Okay, give us the matchups before we talk about Ash. If Rafa's playing Tsitsipas, who wins?
Look, I think I lean with Rafa if he can play like he did today with some depth and flight. You know, that's all. I just think if he does that. But he, you know, Rafa's had matches where he's dropped that loopy forehand, Jared, that you love, short in the middle of the court and in the service box. If he does that, they're the matches that he's lost and you need to hit big against him. And Tsitsipas can do that as he looks to come forward. So there's an opportunity for all these guys. Rafa's not a certainty by any stretch. He's not the favourite. If Medvedev wins, he's not the favourite.
Who will you? Who will, if Medvedev does win, will you be tipping Medvedev or Rafa?
I'm going to sit on Rafa. Okay. I have to sentimentally. Yep. I think it'd be long, but I'm just going to sit on Rafa.
Well, Medvedev, he spoiled the party for Novak, didn't he? Prevented him from winning the Grand Slam in the calendar year.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. You're right. It's a little bit different. Medvedev's playing himself when he plays Novak. So, you know, it's the same sort of flighted ball. They're flat through the court. Novak has a little bit of spin on his forehand for sure, but they play each other. And it was interesting when Novak eventually had to beat Medvedev. It was in Paris. He had to serve volley. He had to serve, and it was an indoor hard court. He had to serve volley to change the rhythm because Medvedev was doing he was doing Novak better than Novak could do himself, if you know what I mean, off the back of the court. And he had to change things up. What Rafa offers you is a left-hander, and he does offer a little different ball to Medvedev. So there is a differential in that matchup.
We're talking to Roger Rashid, former coach and still current tennis commentator on Sports Day. Now, Rog, Gerard doesn't think that Ash can be beaten tomorrow night. Danielle Collins, the last time she played Ash in Adelaide last year, she beat her. And in two of the three wins that Ash has had over Danielle Collins, it's gone to three sets. So I don't think it's going to be as one-sided as what the Brownlow medalist does.
No, and the Brownlow medalist sometimes, you know, he likes to get out there on the front foot pretty big sometimes. But and he's at 21 games she's dropped, which is just that in its own package is extraordinary. Going into a
how many games will Collins win, Roger? How many games?
I can see. I think it's a. I feel like it's a 6-4, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4, 7. You know, something like that. I think there's 8 or 9 games in it. I personally think so. The reasons why, is because Ash, as we've seen, she offers you a different product. she offers you different parts of the court to hit into the whole time. She serves differently. Yesterday, Danielle Collins, she returned brilliantly, but Swiatek served to the same spot all the time and couldn't move the ball anywhere else, whereas Ash has got all this other variety going on. What Collins offers is she's very structured. She goes after the ball. It's her favourite surface is hard court. It's what she grew up playing on, this type of surface that goes through the court. And she's pretty relentless where she has not faltered under the pressure of the moment.
Yep.
And this will be as big a moment as she's going to face. You know, the crowd will be 100%, virtually, driving Ash. And hopefully, and Ash has shown no signs of where she's been affected by the crowd. Jared, I think she's the most relaxed number one that we've ever had in the women's game.
It's unbelievable.
Never seen anyone so relaxed in her with the number near their name. And that's why I think, you know, tonight, sure, she'll have the nerves. They'll be the butterflies. There might be a few, you know, there might be a few unforced errors here or there. But as a package, I think she's got more ways to try and win the tennis match if something's not going right for her. And for Danielle Collins, I think there's virtually game A and a little bit of game B. But I think, you know, in these sort of moments, you probably need a little more.